Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is daf Samach. We're going to start today on Nun Tes. We're going to start on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. This is really the right way to do it. We did a lot of this yesterday, but all this really runs. It's one complete idea, and so it runs from Nun Tes Amud Aleph until Samach Amud Aleph in the bottom. So half of today's daf really is predicated on yesterday's daf. So we're going to go back. We're going to start today. Halfway down in Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and we are going to start with the words Amar Rav. So about halfway down the Amar, the second word in the line, the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Mizbech Shnifkam Kol Kedoshin Shnishchutu Sham Psulim. Mizbech that is a begima in it. It has a nick in it. Small snick in the Mizbech disqualifies the Mizbech, makes the Mizbech out of operation. It's an easy fix. You just simply come and you smooth it out. But in the meantime, however, it's going to be, for the time being, it's going to be out of operation. So any carbon that you shechted already is going to be pasul. This is Rav's statement. Now, I'm going to make this point very clear. I wasn't as clear about it yesterday as I'm going to be right now today. Let's go over what basically we're discussing. We're discussing a concept that we've seen already a number of times. It's called dichui. Dichui means that when something is rejected, something's pushed off, so can it be brought back in to be qualified? So dichui means no, meaning dichui means rejected. And even though the reason for rejection may no longer be here, but once the animal is rejected, or I should say better, once the carbon is rejected, so then it can no longer come back into the back into play. When we talk about dichui, we really could be talking about it in one of two ways. One is dichui meikara, meaning from the point of origination, from the time that I was makdish the animal was rejected for whatever reason. So that is one form of dichui. And the other form of dichui is nira v'nidche. Nir v'nitcha means that the animal was at one time qualified, it was fit to be brought as a carbon, and then whatever reason it gets rejected, and then it gets fit again. Okay, which is worse? So, you know, you spend a lot of time thinking about this, but the one that's worse is nir v'nitcha, when something was qualified and then rejected. Dichui meikara is not as bad because dichui meikara just simply means that, look, it never was qualified. So in other words, so it was never at the point where it was going to be offered in. So it was dichui mikar, it was rejected from the beginning for whatever reason. So okay, so in other words, so now basically we could look at it fresh and new. But nir v'nidcha means that at one point it was fit, and then it was rejected, and now it becomes fit again, so that's worse. We are going to be discussing in the context of this Gemara the idea of nir v'nidcha, where something was fit and then rejected. Worse in what sense is that it can't recover. Can't recover from the rejection. Can't recover from the rejection. So Amar Rav Mizbech Shenifkam Kol Kedoshin Shenishchu Sham Psulim. So Rav over here is talking about a case where the carbon was fit, meaning it was shechted already as a carbon. In this case, we know what the reason of the rejection is. The Mizbech is out of operation. Actually, nothing to do with the carbon itself, but doesn't matter. Meaning the Mizbech is out of operation. So now it was fit, rejected. So Rav is saying now at this point in time, it's now rejected forever. It's nira v'nidcha, and therefore it's going to be rejected. Now, Rav says, mikrohu b'yadin v'shachachunu. Now, I had a pasuk explaining this, but Rav admits, quite frankly, I forgot. Ki salak rev kahan ashkechel rev shimon b'rebi t'kamer mishim rabbi shma b'rev yosim minayla mizbech shenifkam shekola kadashin shenishchutu sham psulam. Rav kahan subsequently goes to Eretz Yisrael, learns in Eretz Yisrael. I explained yesterday why Rav Kahana had to go to Israel. Not for now, but Rav Kahana goes to Israel, and in Eretz Yisrael learns by the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, and comes to the following limud. Shenamar v'zavachta lavetz olosecha v'shlamecha. So the pasuk says that you're going to be shechting on it, meaning on the mizbeach. You're olan yishlamim v'chi alavat azovech. Now you're not shechting on your on the actual mizbeach itself, and I pointed out yesterday, and I'll say it again now. It's a little bit strange that the Gemara says you're not shechting on the mizbeach when the beginning of the sixth parak of Zvachim talks about shechting on the mizbeach. But still, it doesn't take away from the main point that you're not supposed to shecht on the mizbeach. Meaning you could, it would be kosher, but in other words, but the top of the mizbeach is for the burning of the karbanos. It's not for shechting on the top. So that's not what the pasuk means. Ela, kishu shalom lo kishu chaser, meaning it must mean that in order for the carbon to be a qualified carbon, the mizbech has to be shalom. It has to be complete mizbech, meaning no nicks, no indentations in the mizbech. Amar, when Rav Kahana hears this, hainu krad yishamish leil Rav, he's like, that's it. That's the pasuk that Rav forgot. Okay, so now it comes out that according to Rav, if you have a carbon that was shechted, And now, after the carbon was shechted, the mizbech was disqualified. It had a nick in it, an indentation. And so even if we fix the mizbech, because the carbon was already shechted, so it was nira, v'nidche, it was fit, now rejected, and that means that it's going to be permanently rejected. This is the halacha according to Rav. Rav Yochanan goes one step further. Rav Yochanan amar echadzev echadzev psulim. Rav Yochanan says, I agree with you, Rav, but I actually go one step further. Not only the karbanos that were shechted are going to be disqualified, but even the karbanos that were set aside as a karban. They're live animals. They were set aside as a karban. They're going to be rejected as well. Now the Gemara just simply spells out the machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav savra balechaim and nidachim. Rav Yochanan savra balechaim nidachim. Can live animals be subject to rejection? So Rav will say no. In other words, the live animal is simply not subject to rejection. Whereas according to Rav Yochanan, even a live animal can be subject to rejection. Again, it has to be that the animal was mekudash, it had to have been sanctified, but it could be subject to rejection. So here we have now on the table for discussion is a statement.
Based on what the Rav Yochanan says that. Based on what it says that the live animal could be rejected. What is his source?
The Gemara doesn't bring it. Okay, that's a fair question. Comes down now that according to Rav, the begimas on mizbeach, just a nick in the mizbeach is going to be cause for rejection of a carbon. The only limitation for Rav is that the carbon already has to be shechted. But in other words, but once the animal is shechted and the mizbeach becomes disqualified, the carbon becomes disqualified. Good. Meisvei, on which the Gemara asked a question from a raisa. Kol hakadosh shayu ashelo nivna mizbeach v'achakach nivna mizbeach psulim. So the Gemara says, let's say you were set aside a carbon before the mizbech was even built. And now the mizbech is built. So the carbon is going to be possible. Now, when I say carbon over here, seemingly what the Bryce is describing is that even if when the animal is a live animal, meaning you didn't even check it yet, but in other words, because when you set it aside, the mizbech hasn't been built yet, so therefore the carbon is going to be rejected. So the Gemara says, Nivna dechui mikarninu. The Gemara says, no, wait one second. What kind of reading of the Braisa did we just do? We're talking about a case where when I set aside the carbon, set aside the animal as a carbon, so the mizbech wasn't built yet. If the mizbech wasn't built yet, this is not nire v'nidche, this is dichu mikara. And as I pointed out in the intro, dichu mikara is not as bad. Rashi points out there are those of the opinion that even dichu mikara will serve as a permanent rejection, but let's assume not. Let's assume that dichui mikar will not serve as a permanent rejection. So what are we even talking about over here? So ela achelo neras hamizbeach. So the Gemara says, so you know what the case must be? And the Gemara comes up with a case which is really unlikely, but let's say you set aside the carbon at the end of Bais Rishon, and now what happened was that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and a new Beis HaMikdash came about only a short 70 years later. Okay, so the Gemara says, Neras ha'izken lehu. The Gemara says, come on. Now the animal, can you imagine how old the animal is? And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Bechoros, that an animal that is advanced in age simply cannot be fit as a carbon. Okay, so right, exactly. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, you're right. That's also not a good reading of the Braisa. How about this is a good reading of the Braisa? Ashlo nifkam ha'mizbeach. So we're talking about a nick in the mizbech. V'achakach nifka ma'mizbech psulim. So the Gemara says, a nick in the mizbech. So that means to say it as follows. You set aside the animal as a carbon. You are makdish the animal. The mizbech gets a nick in it, and that will serve now as a rejection of the carbon. Now, this is good for Rav Yochanan, but Rav says that the only time the animal gets rejected is only after shechita, not when the animal is alive. So the Gemara says, look, v'lo terutzika mitaratzta. We already did a number of editing jobs with the Braisa that we just learned. So the Gemara says, according to Rav, what we'll do is, look, the Braisa clearly needs editing. We'll do a little more editing. Ema shenishkatu. So in other words, what we'll do is, we'll just simply say that the Braisa is talking about a case where you shechted the carbon. Okay, adkan. Takes us to the end, the end of that. So far, again, where we stand right now is that according to Rav, if a Kohen shechted a carbon, and then the mizbech becomes disqualified with a nick in it, all with just a nick in it. So this is the case of nira v'nidche. The carbon was fit to be brought on the mizbech, becomes disqualified, therefore becomes permanently rejected, even if the mizbech is subsequently fixed.
This cut is, can you say, Rav Chomer, and say that a live animal would not get tamei even if it's touched by a tumat met? How come, you know, something that's not related to it at all, it doesn't even touch it, is going to make it nitre? How could it be?
Okay. I would need to think about that in terms of a kal v'chomer. Okay, let's just deal with the shitas that are on the table. The Gemara says v'amarav gidol amarav mizbech shenekar maktirin ketoros bimkomam. Now the Gemara says, well, I know another statement by Rav, and that's as follows. Let's say the mizbech was removed. Now here we're not talking about the outer mizbech; we're talking about the inner mizbech. The inner mizbech that's in the heichal, again, as we learned just a couple of days ago, only one thing is burnt on top of it, and that's ketoros. Let's say, for whatever reason, the mizbech, the azav, is not in place. What can you do? It's very simple. You bring ketoros into the heichal, you put it on the floor, you burn it on the floor. So you're telling me that a nick in the mizbech is going to disqualify a karbon, and meanwhile, even if I am sans the inner mizbech, I could still burn the ketoros on the floor. So the Gemara says, "Kedama Rav Amoda Haya Rabbi Yehuda Bedamim Achanam Imoda Haya Rav Bedamim." Gemara says, "Well, slow down. You're talking about burning Ketoros. Ketoros, I don't need the Mizbech Azav. Obviously, the mitzvah is to have the Mizbech Azav and to burn it on the Mizbech Azav. But if I don't have it, I could take the Ketoros and just burn it right on the floor. We're talking about sprinkling of blood of a karbon. That everyone agrees, as we're going to see later on. Rav Yehuda says it by a different case." But everyone agrees that when it comes to the blood of a karbon, you need a mizbech, and what we're saying now is that you need a full mizbech, you need a complete mizbech. Okay. My Rav Yehuda d'Tanya. Now the Gemara says, now, with this statement to Rav Yehuda, what is it going on? Meaning, there was like a throwaway statement, which is, you know, Rav Yehuda agrees by blood, so Rav over here also agrees by blood. What is this statement regarding Rav Yehuda? Okay, now everyone buckle in, get ready, and here we go. Okay, I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you. If you want, I charted everything, but I'm going to say quickly, what I'd recommend you do is you listen and then you listen again. Okay. This is a day where you should be listening two times, at least, to the daf. Okay. The Gemara here quotes the following brisa, a word of introduction. Of course, we know that Moshe was responsible for building the first Beis HaMikdash. It's called the Mishkan. And we know that Shlomo HaMelech built the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, I am ignoring right now that there was a Mishkan in Shlomo for 369 years. So I'd say to you, come again tomorrow. Come again tomorrow and the day after. I'd say that anyway. But in other words, we're going to talk about the Mishkan of Shiloh later on. But right now, Moshe built the Mishkan, and Shlomo HaMelech, a short 480 years later, built the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash was bigger, for good reason, by the way. It was permanent. In other words, it was in a permanent location, and so it was bigger. Everything was bigger about Shlomo HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash, but we're focusing today on the actual Mizbeach. Moshe built a Mizbeach for the Mishkan. Shlomo HaMelech built a Mizbeach for his Beis HaMikdash. How big was Moshe's Mizbeach? You would think that in something like this there should be no debate, as the Torah seemingly is really clear about the dimension of the Mizbeach that was built by Moshe. What we're going to see, what we're all going to discover in just a short couple minutes from now, is that it's a machlokas tonight. I know that part's strange. But it's coming up. How big was Shlomo's Mizbeach? Actually, no debate. We know. In other words, the psukim in the beginning of Malachim Aleph, 8th Perek, so actually delineate in detail exactly how big Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach was, and so there is no debate. Okay, what we're going to learn is as follows. Shlomo HaMelech, when he inaugurated his Beis HaMikdash, so he was very excited, so he brought a whole host of karbanos. Now, the truth of the matter is, Moshe did the same thing when he built the Mishkan. Also, there was an inauguration, there was a lot of karbanos brought. But really, it's not to compare. Meaning for Moshe's Mizbeach, meaning for the Mishkan, so the Nesiim brought karbanos for the first 12 days, and yes, they brought each one of them brought a series of karbanos, but like we're talking like in the tens, you know, maybe 100 in total. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and inaugurated the Mizbeach, so he brought 142,000 karbanos. I'll say that again, 142,000. It seems like a lot. It doesn't seem like a lot. It is a lot. Okay, he was excited.
Shama
HaMelech, hold all questions. We're gonna, you'll see. We're gonna crunch the numbers today. Shama HaMelech, by the way, was you know, known for dealing in big numbers. In other words, with wives, right? Big numbers. Karbanos on the day of inauguration, really big numbers, 142,000. Okay. The Pasuk in Malachim describing this tells us that what Shlomo HaMelech had to do is he had to be Mekadosh. And he had to be Mekadosh the Ritzpah, he sanctified the floor. Now, the simple reading in the Pesukim is as follows. There's simply not enough room on the Mizbeach for 142,000 karbanos to be burnt. And even if we're going to say, when we are going to say, there was an Esh Melamala, the fire came down from heaven, in order to supplement the fire that was on the Mizbeach. So, right, this is the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. And a fire came down every day. And even if we're going to say that, we're still going to say there wasn't enough room for 142,000 karbanos to be burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. Therefore, the simple reading in the Pesukim in Malachim indicate that what Shlomo HaMelech did is he sanctified the floor plan of the Azara so that some of the karbanos were burned on the top of the Mizbeach and some of the karbanos were burned on the actual floor of the Azara. That's a simple reading. As we're going to see, some Tanaim read the Pesukim Kipshuto and some Tanaim do not read the Pesukim Kipshuto. Not yet. I'm sorry. Let's first, because there's a lot of information I'm going to present, and then afterwards, I'll take questions. So Bayamahu Kidesh Amalach Tocha Chatzer Vechim Mizbeach. I'm sorry. Ki Mizbeach, and the Pesukim over here. I'm going to read it on the side as it's corrected. Ki Mizbeach and Achoshes Asher Lifnei Hashem Katan Me'achil. Okay. Moshe Mizbeach was really small. Well, the dimensions I'm going to give over to you in just a moment. Shlomo HaMelech, in order to be able to facilitate the burning of 142,000 karbanos, so he had to be makdish not only the mizbech but the floor plan as well, so that the floor could be, you could burn karbanos on the floor itself. Now, Dvarim Kechsav on Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know how you read the Pesukim? The way I just presented them. Simple. Simple reading of the Pesukim in Malachim. In Sefer Malachim. Amle Rav Yossi, so Rav Yossi says we're on the top of Nuntes Amud Beis, V'alok Far Nemar Elof Olos Yala Shlomo Al Mizbeach Ahu. Now, Rav Yossi says, no need for Shlomo HaMelech to be Mekadosh the floor plan of the Azara. All the Karbanos are going to be able to fit on the top of Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach. How do I know that? I know that for the following. Because we know how many Karbanos could be burned maximum on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was how big? Well, stay tuned. That information is coming. But we also know in Sefer Malachim, earlier in Sefer Malachim, that Shlomo HaMelech was able to burn 1,000 karbanos on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. Elef olos yalo Shlomo ala Mizbeach ahu. Ve'ilu bebeis ha'olam imu'omer ve'izbach Shlomo zevach shlamim asher zevach la'ashem bakar 22 elef. Now, I know the pasuk over here says 22,000, but it's 22,000 plus another 120,000. Okay, in other words, we read on in the Pesukim and you'll see. Now, 142,000 can fit on Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach, and I'm going to now present the numbers to you. Now, as we're going to see in just a moment, according to Rav Yossi, Moshe's Mizbeach was length and width 5 by 5 amos. All this information is going to be given to us in the Gemara. I'm saying it outside right now. It was 5 by 5 amos. Now, it happens to be the height is 10 amos, according to Rav Yossi. We don't, right now, the height is not important to us. It will be important to us later on in the Gemara. The length and the width of 5 by 5 amos. Now, that's the top, the very top, the full top of the Mizbeach of Moshe. Now, of course, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to take off an amma on each side because you have the kronos and you have the space between the kronos. Each keren was an amma cube and the space in between. And on top of that, there was also a walkway interior of that of one amma. So in other words, when we're talking about the actual area on the top of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach for the burning of karbon, what are we talking about? One square amma. That is all we're talking about on the top of Moshe's. Now, that means to say now that Shlomo HaMelech was able to burn 1,000 karbanos on that one square amma. Now, I know that sounds really difficult. Again, I'm going to remind you, there was an Esh Melamala that came down in order to facilitate the burning. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yossi, we now have a ratio. The ratio is, for every square amma, you could burn 1,000 karbanos. Now, let's take that ratio and let's move it over to Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach. How big was the top of his mizbeach? The area of burning, the ma'aracha, the area of burning, meaning I'm taking out the krenos, I'm taking out the walkway, the interior walkway. The area of the actual ma'aracha was 20 by 20 amos. Okay? And that means to say now that for every square amma, you could burn 1,000 karbanos. 20 by 20 produces 400 square amos. So if one square amma can burn 1,000 karbanos, 400 square ammas can burn 400,000 karbanos. How do I get to 20 by 20 at the top of Shlomo's Maracha? Meaning his total was 28. Take away the kronos, take away the walkway, and it gets down to 20 by 20. So, So now it was 400,000 karbanos. 400,000 karbanos can be burned on the top of Shlomo's Mizbeach. And so therefore, 142,000, easy. Right. Not a problem. So now that means that according to Rav Yosti, when the Pasuk in Malachim describes Shlomo HaMelech being Mekadesh, he wasn't Mekadesh the floor. There was no need to be Mekadesh the floor. Ample room on the top of the Mizbeach for the burning of all the karbanos. Good. Later we're going to ask the simple question, well, according to Rabbi Yossi, how do you read the Pesukim and Malachim? What was he Mekadesh the floor for? We'll get back to that later on. So Ella, so now back to the Gemara. Ma'u katan me'achil ka'adam omer l'chavero ploni nanasu. Now when saying, you know, we are, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbech was katan, it was too small. What does that mean, too small? So the Gemara's language over here is really interesting. It's like saying to a Kohen, look, I'm really sorry, you're disqualified. But you don't want to say you're disqualified, meaning if a Kohen, let's say, is just simply not fit to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, when he applies for the job, you don't want to say you're disqualified. So you know what you say? You say you're too short. Now, it happens to be that also isn't so pleasant to hear, but at least it's a little bit nicer. In other words, to say, instead of saying you're disqualified, you're puzzled, just simply say, look, I'm sorry, you're small. And Rashi points out, right, that a Kohen that is too short cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So so over here, when describing the Mizbech of Moshe being too small, it's just simply a pleasant way of saying we're retiring Moshe's Mizbech and we're moving to Shlomo's Mizbech. Fine. Upasol la'avoda. Rav Yehuda shapikam Rav Yosi. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, isn't Rav Yosi right? Isn't there ample room enough on the top of Shlomo's Mizbeach to burn all 142,000 karbanos? So the Gemara says Rav Yehuda will disagree, and I'll tell you why. Rav Yehuda l'tami da'amar Mizbeach sh'asa Moshe gadol hayah d'tanya. Now Rav Yehuda says, look, your starting point, I don't agree with your starting point. Meaning, excuse me, how big was Moshe's Mizbeach? So Rav Yosi reported to us that it was 5x5, and for good reason. The Torah reports that it's 5x5, length and width. However, as we're going to learn together right now, Rav Yehuda does not agree with that. Rav Yehuda says that the actual Mizbech of Moshe was 10 by 10. How do you arrive at that conclusion? The Gemara tells us, Titania. Chamesh amos aruch v'chamesh amos rochav, dvarim kichsavam div Rav Yosi. When the Torah gives a very clear description of the Mizbech of Moshe, it says 5 by 5. And Rav Yosi says, and you know how you read the Pasuk? As it's presented, 5 by 5. Rav Yehuda omer ne'emar kan ravua v'ne'emar lahalan ravua. And Rav Yehuda says, no. It says the word ravua. Now, ravua does mean square, but in this case, you know what it means? It means quadrant. Meaning, 5x5 only represents a quadrant of the Mizbeach, but it doesn't represent the full Mizbeach. So, and how do I know that? Because in Sefer Yecheskel, the Navi Yecheskel, when describing a future Beis HaMikdash, also is describing it, at the top of it, not the total top, but simply a quadrant. Malahala Mamsiyasa Himodid Afka Mamsiyasa Himodid. So that means 5x5 is only a quadrant. So 5x5 is only a quadrant. So what is the total area? I also, by the way, I also made that same mistake.
But it's going to be a square.
In other words, 5x5 is a quadrant. So that means they put 5x5 together with 5x5, comes out to 10 by 10. So I hayamodate. So the hasa minalan, and how do I know the Yecheskel was talking only in terms of quadrant? Dichsiv Ariel Shemesre Am Lechol Ruach. So, because Yecheskel was describing the top of the Mizbech at 12 by 12. So, Eino Ela Yud Beis Al Yud Beis. So, the Gemara says that it must be, is 12 by 12 the full Mizbech? Keshu Amar Al Arba'as Riva'av. No, because the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, no, that 12 by 12 is just a quadrant. Malamit Shebe Emsa Humodet. Meaning, measuring from the center, 12 in one direction, 12 in another direction, 12 to the north, 12 to the south. So in other words, it's 24 by 24. Here too, argues Rabbi Yehuda, when the Torah says 5 by 5, that's measuring from the center. 5 one way, 5 another way, 5 north, 5 south. So in other words, it's 10 by 10. Okay. So Moshe's Mizbech is 10 by 10. Now, at this point in time now, let's crunch the numbers. If Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbech, top of it now is 10 by 10, so now let's take a top view of it. So top view of it, fine. So in other words, 10 by 10, 100 square amas, but not so fast. In other words, it's not 100 square amas. Remember, the chronos, take off an amma on every side. Another amma walkway takes off another amma on each side, leaves you an interior of 6 by 6. 6 by 6 now is 36 square amas. Now, 36 square amas, we know, the Pasuk said, we saw it on the top of the Amud, that Shlomo HaMelech was able to burn 1,000 karbanos on Moshe's Mizbeach. So now, the ratio according to Rabbi Yehuda is 1,000 karbanos for 36 square amas. I did the math. Now, by the way, Rashi, everything I'm saying is in Rashi. Just, I'm speaking more in, you know, in the math that you and I are used to hearing. So I did the math. So in other words, if 1,000 karbanos is burned on 36 square amas, so now the ratio is going to be one square amma is able to burn 27.7. Truth of the matter is, put a dash over the 7. It goes on. But in other words, right, around 28 karbanos are able to be burnt on Moshe's Mizbeach. Meaning, it's interesting. According to Rav Yehuda, because the area of Moshe's Mizbeach is larger, so the ratio obviously now becomes smaller. Because we know the total capacity that's able to be burnt on Moshe's Mizbeach was 1,000, but 1,000 over 36 square amas, not over one square amma. So now, if I take now my new ratio of 1 to 27, 1 to 28, and now I move it over to Shlomo's Mizbeach. As we pointed out, we know what Shlomo's Mizbeach Maracha is. It's 20 by 20, meaning 400 square amas. How much can you burn on 400 square amas? Well, I'll just simply take in the ratio of 1 to 27, I plug it in, and I come out to 11,111.1, and again, you could put a dash over the 1. But in other words, for simplicity's sake, let's say 11,000. So now the maximum number of karbanos that can be burnt on Shlomo HaMelech's updated big Mizbeach is only 11,000. So only 11,000, and he was burning 142,000. So therefore, we go back to what we learned in the beginning. Meaning, therefore, he had to be Mekadosh the Ritzpah so that he could burn the karbanos not only on the top of the Mizbeach, but he needed a lot more room in order to burn all the karbanos that he offered on that day. Okay, back to the Gemara. So now it comes out now that the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in terms of whether or not Shlomo had enough room on the top of his Mizbeach to burn all the karbanos is going to be predicated on the actual length and width of Moshe's Mizbeach. Now, Rabbi Yossi, ki gamar gzereshava begova hu degamar. Now, Rabbi Yossi also agrees that there's a gzereshava, but he learns it vis-a-vis the height, Tanya. And now the Gemara is going to introduce us to another machlokus regarding Moshe's Mizbeach between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. The time the Gemara quotes the Brice, V'shal Shamos Kamasot Dvarim Kichzavam Div Rav Yehuda. How high was Moshe's Mizbeach? Now again, you read the Pesukim seem to be crystal clear. They say, 3 amas high. So Rav Yehuda says, that's right, 3 amas high. Correct. And Rav Yossi Amar Namar Kan Ravua V'Namar Lahalam Ravua Malahalam Govak Pishnaim Karako Afkan Pishnaim Karako. And Rav Yossi says, no, it wasn't 3 amas high. No, it was actually 10 amas high. How do I know that? Because the Mizbeach HaZahav that was built in the Mishkan was, in terms of the ratio between length and height, was a ratio of 2 to 1. Or, let me say it better, 1 to 2. Meaning, it was 2 times more high than it was long. So that was the Mizbeach HaZahav. So I'll take that same ratio aspect, and I'll bring it to the Mizbeach of the Hanechoshes, the outer Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. If I know the length is 5, the height's got to be 10. That's Rav Yossi. Amar Lei Reb Yehuda. Now, okay, so now, if you want, by the way, visualize, what does Moshe's Mizbeach look like according to Rav Yossi? Tall and thin. Okay, in other words, 10, right, 10 amas tall, 5 by 5, in terms of length and width. According to Rav Yehuda, the Mizbeach of Moshe, short and wide. In other words, a length and width of 10 by 10 amas and a height of 3 amas. So you really, in other words, for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, they really had two different pictures of Moshe's Mizbech that he built for the Mishkan. Okay. Now, continuing in the Gemara now is going to be is going to be bothered right now by the height of the curtains of the Mishkan, and I'll give away the Gemara outside, and then we'll see it all inside very quickly. It's kind of a side point of the Gemara, but it's an interesting one. The Gemara's assumption is that in the Mishkan in the desert, when they were doing the avoda, nobody should see the Kohan do the avoda from outside. Meaning, obviously, if you're in the Azara, if you're in the courtyard, you're going to see him do the avoda. But nobody from the outside should be able to see him doing it. Tznius, and you know, I'll just leave it at that. Okay. In other words, nobody should see it. How high were the curtains to the Mishkan? So the height of the curtains of the Mishkan, the Torah tells us, is 5 amas high. So if you are Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, okay, I can hear that. Meaning, how high was the Mizbeach according to Rabbi Yehuda? 3 amas. How tall was your average Kohen? 3 amas. So in other words, the best thing you're going to be able to see maybe is his head bobbing around if you're from the outside. And you know, and obviously you have to be, you know, at somewhat of a distance. But according to Rabbi Yossi, the height of the Mizbeach was 10 amas tall. And the Kohen standing on top of it was another 3 amas. And the curtains were only 5 amas high. Like, anyone from the outside could see the Kohen doing the Avoda.
Which curtain is this?
The curtain that surrounds the Mishkan.
The Saviv?
Yeah. In other words, the Azara, the courtyard of the Mishkan. So, with that stated, so Efshar, Amar le Rabbi Yehuda, we'll skip the parentheses. Efshar Kohen Omen Agabe Mizbech Vavod Biyadu V'cholam Ron Asomi Bachutz. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yossi, you know, with your tall Mizbeach, everyone's going to be seeing the Kohen do the Avoda. So Amar le Rabbi Yosef, Alok Var Nemer, Vezkaleh Chatzer, Vezmasach Shara Chatzer, Asher Al Mishkan, Val Mizbeach. Ma Mishkan Yud Amos, Av Mizbeach Yud Amos. Well, you know the Mishkan was 10 Amos. The Mizbeach is also 10 Amos. Va'omer, Kalain Chamesh Esrei Chamesh Esrei Ama Al HaKatev. Now, the Torah does give the number 15. Now, to be fair, if you're reading the Pesukim, and you're saying a simple Pesukim on the Pesukim, you know what 15 Amos represent? That elbow of the curtain. Meaning, when that curtain makes a turn to the entrance of the Mizbeach, so that fourth wall doesn't go all the way through, which makes a lot of sense because how then are you going to get in? But rather, as you get to the entrance of the Azara, of the Mishkan, it goes 15 amas in one elbow, 15 amas in another elbow, and then the fourth wall was a partition that was placed in front of it so that people can go in through the side. Simple pshat in the Torah is that the 15 amas was just simply describing the length of the elbow of the curtains of the Mishkan. What Rabbi Yossi is about to argue is that 15 also describes the height of the curtains, meaning he will tell you that the curtains were actually 15 amas high. So umata malamra he amos. Now, I'll ask a simple question, says the Gemara. If the curtains are 15 amas high, why is the Torah describing the curtains being 5 amas high? It's a reasonable question. Answers the Gemara, misfas mizbeach ulamala. No, it means 5 amas high from the top of the Mizbeach. Meaning that when the Torah was giving the number 5, it was saying 5 amas from the top of the Mizbeach. Because again, according to Rav Yossi, Mizbeach was 10 amas high. Umata malamra v'shalosh amas kamaso. Now the Gemara asks another reasonable question to Rabbi Yossi. How can the Torah describe the Mizbeach being 3 amas when you, Rabbi Yossi, say the Mizbeach is 10 amas? So the Gemara says, oh, no, that's not also not a problem. Misfas sovev ulamala. No, 3 amas was only describing from the sovev and above. Meaning that according to Rabbi Yossi, the total height of the Mizbeach was 10 amas. But in other words, 6 amas, then there was a sovev built around the Mizbeach. Went up another 3 amas, 6 plus 3 is 9. Plus the Kronos, that gets you a total of 10. The Torah's description of 3 is only a part of the Mizbeach, not the total amount of the Mizbeach. Ula Rabbi Yehuda hakam ischazi kohen. Now the Gemara turns to Rabbi Yehuda. Now remember, the dimensions for Rabbi Yehuda. Mizbeach was 10 by 10 length and width, 3 amas high. Curtains were 5 amas high. The Gemara says, okay, but you could still see the kohen, meaning the kohen is 3 amas high. I'm standing on top of the Mizbeach 3 amas high. That's higher than the 5 amma partition. Okay, so you see the Kohen's head. But in other words, the tznius is really for the avoda. You're not going to be seeing the avoda in his hand. Fine. Bishlam of the Rav Yehuda, Haindu Dichsiv Kidesh. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, that's very good. We go now back to Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech had to be Mekadesh. What was he Mekadesh? The Ritzpah. Why? Because according to Rav Yehuda, there simply was not enough room on the top of the Mizbech to burn all the Karbanos, all 142,000 Karbanos. And we know that because, again, according to Rav Yehuda, the ratio of square amas to numbers of Karbanos converted is 1 to 27. So only a maximum of 11,000, approximately 11,000 Karbanos could be burned on the top. So what was he Mekadesh? The floor, so that he could burn the Karbanos on the floor. Ella Rabbi Yossi, please give me a moment. Let me just finish with all the information. Ella Rabbi Yossi, my Kidesh Lahamid Bamizbech. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, so what was he Mekadesh? He was Mekadesh, the area on the Azara for the Mizbech. Meaning that in order to put a larger Mizbech on, so he was Mekadesh. I mean, according to Rabbi Yossi, plenty of room on the top of the Mizbech for all the Karbanos. 400,000 could be burned on the top of the Mizbech. That was maximum capacity. 142,000 was not a big deal. So what he was Mekadesh was the floor to put the Mizbech on top of the floor. We're almost done. Bishlam al-Rabbi Yossi, hainu dechsev katan. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, I certainly understand the description the description of Moshe as being small. But Ella Rav Yehuda my katan. But according to Rav Yehuda, why are you calling Moshe's Mizbeach small? Shlomo Mizbeach also was small. Meaning it couldn't handle all the Karbanos. So you're calling Moshe small, so Shlomo's is also small. So Hachi Kamer, Mizbeach Havanim Sha'asa Shlomo, Taches, Mizbeach Nechoshes, Katan Hava. So the Gemara does a creative reading of the pasuk. The Torah says, no, what he was describing was not Moshe's Mizbeach being small. It means Shlomo's Mizbech. Now granted, Shlomo's Mizbech was made of stone. It was not Nechoshes, it was not the copper that Moshe's Mizbech was. But in other words, Shlomo's Mizbech, which replaced Moshe's copper Mizbech, that's the Mizbech that was small. So small is not a reading on Moshe's Mizbech, but rather, according to Shlomo's, rather with Shlomo's Mizbech. Ben my pligi, going back now to the debate regarding the dimensions of Moshe's Mizbech, what is that? What's at the source of the machlokas? Mars have done in chutz mechutz, vein done in chutz mipnim. Mars have done in kli mekli, vein done in kli mebinyan. A question of what are we more ready to compare the outer mizbech of Moshe to the inner mizbech? That's Rav Yossi Shita. Meaning Rav Yossi says you look at the aspect ratio of the inner mizbech, 2 to 1, height to width to length. So the outer mizbech follows the same way. That's Rav Yossi. And Rav Yehuda says no. I'd much rather compare it to the Mizbech that's described in Yechezkel. Meaning it's more apples to apples to compare outer Mizbech to outer Mizbech rather than comparing outer Mizbech to inner Mizbech. Okay. We're pretty much done. So basically, if I may, I'm just going to now summarize basically 4 points that we learned together in terms of what distinguishes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. I'll start with Rabbi Yehuda. Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadesh the floor plan of the Azara to do what? In order to burn Karbanos, because the 142,000 Karbanos, or a good number of the 142,000, as there simply was not enough space on the top of the Mizbech. According to Rav Yehuda, what's the length and width of Moshe's Mizbech? 10 by 10. What's the height of Moshe's Mizbech? 3 Amos. Which one of those numbers actually represents what the Torah tells us? The height. Length and width? He had to go to the Pesukim in Yechezkel to arrive at that conclusion. What is the height of the curtains of the Mizbech? So the height of the curtains of the Mizbech was 5 amas high, which is all you needed, because the Mizbech was only a height of 3. And even though you could see the head over the Mizbech of the Kohen, when he's standing on the Mizbech, that's fine. Now let's move over to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi on these 4 points disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, why did Shlomo HaMelech Mekadesh the floor of the Azara? Didn't need to, meaning all the karbanos fit on the top of Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach. What he was Mekadesh, the floor plan was simply to put the Mizbeach on top of it. 2, what's the length and width of Moshe's Mizbeach 5 by 5? What's the height of Moshe's Mizbeach? 10 amas. What's the height of the curtains according to Rabbi Yossi? 15 amas. So on these 4 points, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda disagree. Okay, thanks for the patience.
Why did they have to be Mekadesh the floor for anything? Why,
right.
Like, why can't they just bring Karbanot what is the source for that?
In other words, the
that he has to be a Mekadesh for any purpose.
Rashi, the only thing I could tell you is that Rashi over here talks about, when he talks about being Mekadesh the floor, meaning we learned back in Shavuos that there was an entire procedure to be Mekadesh And now Rashi doesn't say this point. I'm saying this point. And when, in other words, if I didn't need it to burn the karbanos, in other words, it have received one level of kedusha, meaning of the azara, where the kohanim stand on it and do the avoda, and their feet have to be touching the floor. But in other words, in order to burn karbanos now on the floor, so that needs an enhanced level of kedusha, and so therefore Shlomo HaMelech gave it the enhanced level of kedusha. And what I'm saying, by the way, makes sense in that we learned earlier in the Masechta David HaMelech already was mekadesh the floor. So what Shlomo HaMelech need to do? So again, what I'm suggesting is that to give it this enhanced level so that you can actually burn karbanos on the floor of the Azara. It just it's near, in other words, there's no problem with seeing it. In other words, but there's this idea that when the Kohanim are doing the Avodah, they should be in a tsanua environment.
But they're not. I mean,
For anyone inside, of course you're right. But in other words, but from the outside, nobody should just simply have a view of what's going on in there. Okay? In other words, right, if a terrible comparison, but in other words, if you buy tickets to the game, so then of course you can see. But in other words, they don't want you to be able to see from the outside.
And in terms of the bottom line.
And somehow in Chicago you're able to do that. But anyway. Again, I expect that question from you. Over here, I don't know. I don't know. A lot of this discussion debate is historical in nature.
How is this discussion related to the Machloket of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi
Yochanan? Okay, good. Oh, so I'm so happy you asked that question. Meaning, what Ben's basically asking is, can we now bring it around full circle? Because Ben realizes that all this, meaning I know that was just a lot of information that we just went through, all this was to get to the point which the Gemara introduced all this with, which is that everybody agrees that you, for blood, you need the Mizbeach. So I'm so happy you raised that point. So the Amar Rava. And Rava says, Mode Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda says that what Shlomo HaMelech did in order to be able to burn all 142,000 karbanos was he was mekadesh the floor. But now, here we come now full circle. Mekadesh the floor so that? Bidamin. Meaning that only to burn the karbanos, you could do that on the floor of the Azara. But when you shech the karban and when you collect the blood, even Rav Yehuda will agree, you absolutely need the Mizbeach to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. All 142,000 karbanos had to have their blood sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And D'tanya in the Gemara says, and I'll prove this point to be so, because we learned in a Braisa. This is now in Zvachim, the second time we're learning this Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosecher ayamamale midama ta'arovitz v'shofcho gabe Mizbeach, she'im yishafech damo shalachas me'em nitzazeh machshiro. Remember, this is Rabbi Yehuda's insurance policy on Erev Pesach. You had karbanos, all the karban Pesach shechted. Right, we think all the blood went from the karban to the wall of the mizbech and sprinkled on the wall of the mizbech. But just in case one of the bloods got spilled on the floor, so Rav Yehuda says that what you'll do at the end of the afternoon is you'll take a cup of the blood, you'll pick it up, and remember, Rav Yehuda consistent with his position of min bimino eino batel. So all you need is a trace amount of blood of an unsprinkled karban, and you'll pick up a cup and you'll throw it onto the mizbech. And this provides an insurance policy just in case. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, why do you have to sprinkle onto the Mizbeach? Didn't he understand that Shlomo HaMelech invested the floor with the Kedusha so that you can actually burn karbanos on the floor of the Azara? So the Gemara says, Ha'isav delei mitzvah say. Well, the blood went on the floor. Shouldn't that be good enough? So the Gemara is making the argument, it's not good, because even though you could burn karbanos on the floor, vis-a-vis the blood, even according to Rav Yehuda, has to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara says, well, maybe it didn't go with Koach Adam, and that's what's needed. So the Gemara says, Koach Adam, fine. So pick the blood up off the floor and put it down on, and throw it down on the floor. Meaning, clearly, I need the Mizbeach. But the Gemara says, look, it's a good argument, but it's not compelling. Maybe I can argue that if you take the blood and pour it on the floor, maybe that would be good. What about Rav Yehuda pouring it on the Mizbeach? Mitzvah min hamofcha, meaning because maybe that's the best way to do it.
What kind of argument is it that just because Shlomo expanded the area where you could actually like do something, that applies to sprinkling?
Right. What kind of the argument would be that if I can burn carbon over there, so the Azara's floor serves as a mizbech, as a substitute for a mizbech.
There are different purposes of the mizbech.
Okay, good. What you're saying is the Gemara's conclusion. If you're asking me what the Havamina would be, I tell you, the Havamina would be that the floor of the Azara substitutes for a mizbech.
But you can't sprinkle anywhere on the mizbech.
But that's not true, though. You can. Meaning, b'di'evit, you can. In other words, l'chatchila, obviously there are places that it belongs. For chatos, your point's better. But in other words, for a regular carbon, really, anywhere. The Amar Reb... All the 142,000 carbons they brought? Yeah, presumably.
That was all and not Shalami?
I think so. I'm not sure. Okay. Amar Rebbe Elazar. Okay. And that ends that discussion. Let's start the next discussion of the Gemara. We're on Samach Hamad Aleph. And a related topic, but a new topic for today. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Mizbech Shenifkam, Ein Ochlen Begino Shayari Mincha. If the Mizbech has a pagam, and if it has an indentation, now we already learned that a Mizbech with an indentation, you can't sprinkle the blood. But now we're going to make another point. And that is, not only can you not sprinkle the blood, but let's even imagine you did sprinkle the blood. Now, we're not talking about a carbon yet. Right now we're talking about a mincha, but the point is going to still basically be the same point. Let's say the mincha was offered correctly. Right? The Kohen did the kamitza, put the kamitza on the top of the Mizbech, burned the kamitza on the top of the Mizbech, wonderful. And then a pagam occurs in the Mizbech. The Mizbech gets an indentation, a dent. So, what we're now learning together as a statement made by Rebbe Elazar is that you can't eat a carbon. In other words, even the eating of a carbon requires a Mizbech intact. So I'll read the Gemara again. Mizbech shenifkan ein ochlem begino. Begino over here, a strange word. It means bishvilo shayari mincha. Shenemar. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Parshat Tzav. Vachlua matzos eitzel ha-mizbech. You eat the matzah standing right next to the mizbech. Vechi eitzel mizbech achlua. Kohen has to be standing right next to the mizbech. Now it happens to be the kohen has to be in the azara. But as we learned earlier, he could be anywhere in the azara. He doesn't have to be standing next to the mizbech. Over here, when it says next to, it doesn't mean physically next to. It means halachically. There must be a mizbech in order for the kohen to consume. Ela bizman shehu shalom v'lo bizman shehu chaser. So good. So now we're learning another halacha regarding the need of a mizbech. I need a full mizbech to eat karbanos. Ashka chan shayari mincha kashe kadashim min alan. How about a karban? Specifically kashe kadashim. Chatas asham. Tam lamer kodesh kadashim. Kodesh kadashim. Again, going back to that same pasuk in Parshat Tzav, the Torah says kodesh kadashim, meaning anything that falls under the category of kodesh kadashim, which of course would also mean a chatas and an asham. Kashim kalam minayin. How about kashim kalam? So Amarava Asya Midrasha de Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, yep, that as well. Meaning that in order to eat Kashim Kalim, for anybody to eat Kashim Kalim, the Mizbech has to be totally intact, complete. I know that based on the following, the Tanya Rav Yossi Amar Gimel Dvarim Mishum Gimel Zakenim. Rav Yossi has a tradition, three traditions from three elders. Vizeh Echam Ehem. We're going to be learning this morning one of the traditions, but only one of the traditions, which is Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Yochel Yala Adam Meister Sheni Yerushalayim. I might have thought that a person can bring Meister Sheni to Yerushalayim v'yochlenu bizman hazeh and eat it now a days v'dinhu. Now Meister Sheni being brought to Yerushalayim bizman hazeh, we don't have a base of mikdash, and the Torah says that when you eat Meister Sheni, you have to eat it in Yerushalayim, but in sanctifying Yerushalayim. I might have thought that you should be able to bring Meister Sheni Yerushalayim and eat it. Vidinu, and the Gemara says, but wait a second, let's make the following argument. Bechor Tarnavas Makom or Meister Tarnavas Makom? Well, Bechor, meaning the carbon Bechor, needs Makom, meaning needs a base of Mikdash. And Meister also needs a base of Mikdash. Ma Bechor Einu Ala Bifnei Abayis, Av Meister Einu Ala Bifnei Abayis. Well, Bechor I can only bring if there's a base of Mikdash. Can we make the same argument regarding Meister Sheni as well? So the Gemara says, what kind of argument is that? Ma'ala Bechor Shekein Tal Ma'andam and Vimur Legabim Mizbech. It's a terrible argument. Bechor is a carbon. I need to sprinkle the blood of the Bechor on the Mizbech. I need to offer the Imurim on the Mizbech. And so how can I compare Bechor and Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni, there's no carbon requirement. It's Maaser Sheni. So Bikurim Yochichu, Mala Bikurim Shekein to Unem Hanacha. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about Bikurim? The Gemara says, once again, you're comparing Maaser Sheni to Bikurim. Bikurim, I also need a Mizbech. Now, I'm not offering the Bikurim on the Mizbech, but, are you right? In other words, you need to wave the Bikurim next to the Mizbech. So Tamal Omar, Ve'evesim Shama Oloseichem. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. Read on in the Pasuk, the Torah talks about Masor Seichem and Bechor, Mekish Maisel Bechor. So now the Gemara says we have a hekesh, meaning previously what we were doing was what's called a mematzino, a binyanav. That's weaker. Now we have a hekesh that's really strong. And a hekesh is so strong, even if they're not comparable, but if the Torah puts them in the same pasuk, that's a connection. So ma b'chor eino ela b'fnei abayis, av maiser eino ela b'fnei abayis. Just like b'chor, you need a beis hamikdash, maiser sheni, you also need a beis hamikdash. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, we tried to compare it to when we were using the binyanav. We were trying to compare it to Bechor, strike one. We tried to compare it to Bikurim, strike two. The Gemara says, why not use a combination of the two? V'nesi b'me'atzad, use a me'matzino using two sources. The Gemara says, Mishukim de'ikal mifrach, ma'la'asad ashat shebehen, shekin yesh behem tzad mizbech. The Gemara says, yeah, but even with the me'atzad, the common denominator of Bechor and Bikurim is that they need the mizbech. Bechor, because I needed to sprinkle the blood of the Bechor in the mizbech. Bikurim, I need to put the basket next to the Mizbech. When it comes to Maaser Sheni, neither are required. I don't need the Mizbech for Maaser Sheni. Ben Mai Kasavra. Now the Gemara, and you were probably wondering, we're talking about bringing Maaser Sheni after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Does Yerushalayim still have Kedusha? Mai Kasavra. I Kasavra Kedusha Rishon Kishla Shaita V'Kishla Asilavo Avila B'chor Nami. So the Gemara says, well, if you maintain that the Kedusha continues even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so then, as much as you're wondering about Maaser Sheni, you can also ask the same question regarding Bechor. Now, Rashi points out over here, Tosef points out over here, what are we wondering about Bechor? If I don't have a Beis HaMikdash, with or without Kedusha, I don't have a Mizbeach. Like, what are we even talking about? So Rashi and Tosef both point out over here, with the case of the Bechor is the case in which you shechted the Bechor, you sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach, and then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, the case obviously is unlikely, historically, only for a small window in time, but at least now, conceptually, it's the same question. Meaning, in order for me to eat the carbon of the Bechor, do I need the actual Mizbeach? Do I need the actual Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, V'ika savar lo kitcha la silav afil b'chor namiti baye. And the Gemara says, and if the Kedusha perpetuates, so I could eat Bechor, and I can eat Maaser Sheni. And if the Kedusha doesn't perpetuate, Afila Bechor Nami Tibaye. Well, then the question we have by Maaser Sheni will be the exact same question we have regarding Bechor in the case that I just outlined. Amar Avina Lolam Kasav Lo Kitcha. No, the Kedusha, we are subscribing to the viewpoint that the Kedusha does not perpetuate. Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Kedusha is gone. Wait, one second. We're coming around full circle. So the Gemara says what we're describing over here is where you sprinkle the blood of the Bechor on the Mizbech and then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, together of course with the Mizbech. And now here's what I know. Itkish Besaro Ladamo. Ma Dama B'Mizbech Af Besaro B'Mizbech. V'asi Maiser V'Yalef Me'Bechor. And here's what I know. That when it comes to the Bechor, the blood and the meat are connected. In other words, obviously for the blood, I need the Mizbeach. For the consumption of the meat, I also need the Mizbeach. Meaning the Mizbeach has to be around in order for me to eat the meat of the Bechor. And here now we have answered our question. Meaning, we said that in order to eat the Mincha, the Shayari Mincha, for the Kohen to eat the Shayari Mincha, you need the Mizbeach. That's the Pasuk. Kache Kadashim in Chatzos Hanashim. Also part of the Pasuk. What about Kachim Kalim? Here's what we just learned together. We just learned together that when you have the Bechor, and let's say you did the carbon correctly, you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbech, but before you're sitting down and eating your Bechor, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Again, I know, it's an unlikely scenario. We're just discussing the concept. So, and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, you are no longer entitled to eat the meat of the Bechor. Why not? You're no longer entitled to eat the meat of the Bechor because you need a Mizbech. That's it. It's that simple. You need a mizbech in order to eat the meat of the bechor. And from there, we're going to learn out that not only is this true regarding bechor, but it's also going to be true regarding Meister Sheni, meaning that we're no longer able to eat Meister Sheni without the Beis HaMikdash and without the mizbech. Now, the Gemara says, af pisar mizbech, v'asi meiser v'yalef min bechor. Now, the Gemara says, now, wait one second. Haven't we violated the rule that we learned 10 short days ago in the daf? In other words, the double hekesh. So the Gemara says, Meister Dagan Chulin. The Gemara says, yeah, but we're learning to Meister Sheni. Meister Sheni is not hektish, it's Chulin. The Gemara says, Hani Chalaman Alaman Damar Basar Lamed Azlinan, Alaman Damar Basar Malaman Azlinan, Mai Ika Lamemar. The Gemara says, that's wonderful, but remember, even though the end of the Limud, the C, meaning of A, B, and C, if the C is a Davar Chol, so some are of the opinion that that's fine, meaning it doesn't violate the double hekesh rule. But some are of the opinion that if the malamid, meaning if B is the hektish, it's kodesh. So that means that I can't go from A to B, C, even though C is chulin, it doesn't matter. In other words, if the malamid, if the B of the equation is hektish, so then that's a violation of hekesh, the compound hekesh. So damuvaser chadamil sahi. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? The author of this brisa, meaning Rabbi Yishmael, so he says that the blood and meat is not two jumps, meaning that's one singular point. That if I don't have the mizbeach for the dam, if I need the dam for the mizbeach, I also need the meat for the mizbeach as well. I need the mizbeach for the meat. In other words, that's not two points, that's one singular point. And so therefore, really the way to view it is one hekesh, not a double hekesh. The whole point of bringing this in is to illustrate that, according to Rabbi Yishmael, just like I need the mizbeach in order to eat shayari mincha, just like I need the mizbeach in order for Kohen to eat the chatos and asham, I also need the mizbeach in order to be able to eat the bechor, which is kachim kalam. Okay.